about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, man, is that Freedom Rock?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
So, what do we say to Taylor Swift and her new concoction? You need to calm down. I think we just tell Taylor Swift she's a fool and she doesn't fear God, and sooner or later, God will cut her down.
You've worked so hard on these things. You've worked so hard on the kidney. Very special. The kidney has a very special place in the heart.
This is a sign from Jesus.
And now.
I thought the whole idea of this show is that there wouldn't be any more sucking, that we were done with sucking.
There may be a little more suck.
Our feature presentation.
Probably a lot more suck if I know this show. Hey, party people, welcome into yet another Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Thursday, 7-Eleven. What's up, y'all?
Hello.
What?
Hello.
Who's that? I'm hearing a weird voice in my headphones.
It's your local Kermit the Frog, Jensen Karp.
Kid Jensen!
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Kid Jensen!
Hi, everyone.
He's been waiting to play that.
Oh, yeah. I really have. I've been so sad with you, Al Jensen.
He couldn't even hold it for just the show. He sent it to
me. That's what he told us. He's like, I had to send it to Jensen.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Kid Jensen!
It's too good!
Amazing.
Jensen.
Yes.
Jensen.
We missed you.
Oh, thank you.
Good to see you, buddy.
I feel great to be here. Basically, just quick update. Mm-hmm. Kid is still in the hospital. There's still minimal fluid in his lungs, which is not the best thing, but they're going to play it out. They said it's so small that over the next week, they're hoping it fully absorbs while he's learning how to use a bottle, and then we'll take him home and do some outpatient. So we're hoping next week to 2 weeks.
That'd be great.
Nice.
Yeah. That'd be fantastic. Now, I heard a out of you when I said 7-Eleven, Allie. Do you celebrate 7-Eleven Day? Will you go in for your free Slurpee?
I do not. Is this the day that they let you go in with anything to put a free Slurpee in, and people are bringing big old jugs?
I don't think so.
That's a different 7-Eleven holiday.
Is it? You'd think I would know that.
I would think you would absolutely know that.
I thought free Slurpee was just you go in and they give you a free small Slurpee.
That's what it is, yeah.
Okay.
I think the other one is another thing. But I am, although you know I love the 7-Eleven, I am not a Slurpee guy.
Interesting.
So, plus I live in a state where there are no 7-Elevens. Kind of irrelevant to me anyway. We don't have them in Louisiana.
When you think of 7-Eleven and it's one of your places, like, what do you think about buying there? Like batteries?
Big gulps.
Okay. All
yeah. Because I just love a good fountain drink.
Mm-hmm. Is it the Diet Dr. Pepper?
Sometimes it is. Yeah, sometimes it's just the zero Coke. Sometimes you get really lucky and find Diet Root Beer, which is my favorite. Because, you know, these days, a lot of convenience stores, not just 7-Eleven, have upgraded their soft drink machines to include 30 choices, you know, and then all the mix-ins that you can put, you know, you can add lemon to it or whatever. It's just it's a cornucopia now of taste.
It really is, yeah.
So, says it outside on the sign, 7-Eleven, a cornucopia taste.
Right. Yeah. So, I it's hard for me to not get excited over 7-Eleven Day, even if I personally can't go and get a Slurpee. So, hope everybody else gets a chance to enjoy it today. I wanted to start with this story. I'm sure you guys saw it. It made pretty big news. Freddie Mac, the man's name in Venus, Texas. Did you hear about him, the 57-year-old man?
No.
Who went missing. He's kind of reclusive. He lives at home with his 18 dogs, which I think may be too many.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
And that's coming from you.
I love dogs. Yeah. The most I've ever had at one time is 6. Mm. And that's a lot of dogs to take care of. Mm-hmm. 6. Allie, why do you feel like you know where this is going?
You said missing and then said 8,000 dogs.
18 dogs, yes.
Oh, Bean, don't.
Don't.
Oh, no.
He, as I said, was fairly reclusive, but family members would swing by and pick him up every couple of weeks and take him to the store so that he could load up on supplies and whatnot, but they hadn't heard from him. Again, he kept to himself, so they didn't think it was entirely unusual, but at one point they contacted the police, and the police thought, well, we'll go over and check it out, and they couldn't find anybody there. except a lot of dogs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, your conclusion is accurate. At one point, they did find a tiny piece of bone. And then they started noticing in the dog poop, they started noticing pieces not only of bone, but of the clothing that Mr. Mack had been wearing.
What? Why? The
they ate every bit of them. Now that's what makes
that
this
was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death.
There are a lot of people who have been killed by dogs, even some owners who have been pecked away at by a dog. Mm-hmm. It is unheard of for somebody to eat it all. Just clothes and all. I mean, shoes,
yeah,
pants.
We got it.
We understand
shirt,
what all is.
Good Lord.
Head, arms, legs. Junk. Probably his monocle.
Fanny
yeah.
Pack.
The end of the shoelaces, the plastic part.
Do you think, you don't think brunch would eat you and Danielle, do you, Jensen?
I think if days go by, gotta eat something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a cat as well, and cats will eat my face. That I know for sure.
Yeah. Really? When you're alive.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't even yeah. wait.
Nope.
They're poking at my yeah. organs to see if they even, if they're ripe,
they're
ready for eating.
Such dicks.
Yeah.
Chip, how's your cat?
Alive.
Oh, Mr. Pickles.
Don't say it's my cat. It's not my cat.
He lives with you, though.
But it's not mine. He's no one's cat.
Right. Mm. But don't you feel like Mr. Pickles is checking you out?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for a tasty, although Chip is a snack, really, more than
right.
she's a
meal. Little appetizer.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's just waiting. He's plotting.
Yeah.
Probably so. Well, this is a very unusual case. I mean, there have been dozens of cases of pets who have eaten their deceased owners in the last 20 years of forensic science journals. But it's very rare to eat the whole enchilada. And they also don't know at this point, by the way, whether the dogs killed him or if he just died. And short of somebody being around to feed them, they decided to feed themselves.
And now they'll never know because he's in pieces.
That's right. Oof. That's right. So good morning.
You know, when you read a story like that, you don't have to then, like, bookmark it.
You're not, like, legally obligated
to do it on the show.
You say it.
Yeah, you can just leave that
in your
creepy folder.
A story worth sharing, and I think it's also, I think it's good advice for people to count how many dogs they have and how many they think they can fight off on their own. Careful out there, because sometimes dog plus people equals dogs. That's all I'm saying. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Well, let me be really clear. That would be completely improper.
I think it's very proper, because it's Thursday, and that means two of our favorite things are happening today. Jensen, you got to get up on this for us?
I do. I have a musician.
Oh, very nice. Also, our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew today about a diet that has become very famous in America because of comedian Penn Jillette. He fasts 23 hours a day. I can't write.
Yeah. And when you told us about this a couple weeks ago, when he does eat, he's just eating vegetables and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like his hour is like grains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No sense is made.
Except for the fact that you look at him and you realize he used to be tubby and now he's maybe too thin.
He's a little emaciated even.
He is. I think he looks too thin.
Yeah.
I mean, it works, but this is why we go to the doctor to go, you know, for people who are thinking about dropping a few pounds. It can't be healthy. I just want to know if there's long-term bad things that happen to your body if you do that. If you fast 23 hours a day, it just seems like you might as well be on Survivor, right?
Because this is like the extreme of what Kimmel does. Kimmel does like the intermittent fasting, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is next level.
Yeah.
Next level, right. Jensen, you were out, but we were talking about my next career in the UK. Mm-hmm. If I can't get on with a radio station or find some sort of job in the communications business, I think I'm going to work for the Royal Mail. It's been a dream of mine here in America my whole life, and I think I can make it a reality in the UK. And Allie laughed at me, frankly, when I talked about how my route was going to be so much fun because of all the beautiful young ladies who are probably going to come to the door with their robes slightly askew.
Mm-hmm.
She did not think that was likely to happen with me.
Mm-mm.
But then we heard from a Kevin Bean listener who, what did he do? Did he deliver?
Furniture delivery.
Yeah, wood, it sounds like. And he said, you can't believe the stuff you see when you're on a route, when you're out there going to people's houses every day. I think we need to find out more about that and see if I can move my flight up to England to this weekend. I think that needs to happen. Comic-Con tickets on the program today. It's a week from today, by the way. We're going to be in San Diego broadcasting for this year's Comic-Con. We'd like you to be there with us. We'll give you a chance to win those on the show today. Am I missing anything? Is that everything?
That sounds good.
I think you have the whole show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we get to it and start with Ali's Kid Jensen. It's the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning on the world famous K-Rock. Don't forget, we continue to give you tickets for Smashing Pumpkins, along with Noel Gallagher and AFI at the Five Point Amphitheater in Irvine, end of August. And you qualify to see the Pumpkins again in their hometown of Chicago. Details and your chance to win coming up. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
What's going on is a great question.
Well, a lot is going on. You guys into Shark Week?
I dip in and out, as one would in the ocean.
Oh. How about you, Jensen?
I don't think I've ever watched Shark Week programming.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
I watched Michael Phelps take on a shark because that was the big thing one year. That I'm like, wait, he's not really swimming next to a real shark? And I was really let down.
Yeah, that
when people explained to me, well, you can't really swim next to, you can't do that.
People swim next to sharks every day
That's
in the ocean.
What I said, Bean. Well, Discovery Channel has released the official schedule for Shark Week. It's encompassing 20 hours of sharktastic programming from July 28th to August 4th. In addition to their usual documentary-style shows, Discovery is also rolling out a scripted feature-length film for the first time ever. It's going to star Josh Duhamel, and it's called Capsize, Blood in the Water. It tells the true story of an October 1982 shark encounter, which the crew of a capsized yacht must survive for days while being targeted by a group of tiger sharks.
That is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Josh Duhamel all wet and stuff? Yeah.
Hey, will Tara Reid be invited back?
Are you talking about the Sharknado, movies?
No, I'm talking about when she co-hosted Shark Week one year.
Today, I was like, all right, I don't want to like really sound stupid when I do this show today. Like, so learn a little education on sharks. So I look up sharks on the internet, and then I see like whale sharks. I'm like, oh, that must mean a whale and a shark have sex. And then I think, well, how does a whale and a shark have sex? Because there's a thing called whale sharks. So I thought they must, you know. And then I realized that whales were mammals and sharks are animals. They have nothing to do with each other. So basically, dolphins have sex with each other, but the sharks don't. So I thought, then how is it such a thing?
So I'm asking again, is Tara Reid being invited back?
I hope so.
Honestly,
there's nothing I want more.
I've never seen Shark Week, and now I want to if she's involved.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
Unreal.
That was
a journey.
That was a real journey. And I'm not sure where we ended, really.
No. Yeah. She had all day, too. She said she did studying and research. Right. She had all day to come up with a sentence.
Wow. Right.
All somebody had to do was butt in and go, a whale shark doesn't have anything to do with a whale.
Yeah.
That should have settled it.
Yeah. You don't butt in with that kind
of
science.
You just let it rip.
You let Howard Cosell do the whole run. You don't stop before he gets the touchdown.
Absolutely.
It's a great reference, Jess.
Thank you.
Rob Riggle will be hosting Shark After Dark. That's the weekly the week's nightly talk show, excuse me. He's also going to be showcasing Shark Trip, Eat, Pray, Chum, alongside his friends Adam Devine, Anthony Anderson, Joel McHale, and Damon Wayans Jr.
Fun.
So it's like a little like road trip.
Yeah, they went on a travels to. It's like that Terry Bradshaw show that for a while. It's a bunch of dudes going on a journey.
Wow.
Yeah.
This should be a lot of fun.
Oh, I hope he's there. In case anyone needs anything cut.
Oh, whoa.
Jeez. Original programming.
Can you imagine if they announced that OJ was going to be part of Shark Week?
Someone will. Wait for it.
I thought you were referencing there would be OJ Week, where all week people have to run away from OJ and talk about how much of a murderer he is.
Okay, maybe I'd watch that.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. Let's try to be a good guy.
How much is he golfing, by the way?
I'm sure all.
Yeah.
Probably what he does every day.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, original programming is going to wrap up on August 3rd, but then reruns of the week's best content will be featured the following day. You guys know how I love a cake mishap. I've said it for years. Like you, the one recently was somebody wanted Mariah Carey on their cake, then it was Marie Curie wound up on the cake.
Yeah. That's right.
That's a problem. People that want you to spell like valedictorian and they write valid Victorian or Zoe with two dots over the E. That's what they tell the person on the phone, but that's what's actually on the cake. put Zoe with two dots over the each. Sure. I live for this stuff. So when
I feel like you shouldn't be able to place a cake order over the phone. I feel like you should have to bring in something that you've drawn so they know exactly what it is they're doing.
Okay, what about this if you have a little bit of an accent, which is what they're attributing this story to? It's out of Georgia, and this woman said her mom ordered a cake for her because her favorite movie is Moana. So she called the Dairy Queen, "I want a Moana cake." Well, when they opened it up, at the birthday, what a surprise when the cake featured a marijuana leaf and a My Little Pony smoking a joint.
That's really cool.
She said, I think they thought that she said marijuana because we're from South Georgia and kind of have an accent. So Moana, marijuana. I guess when they said that I love cartoons, they were just like, well, let's throw a little My Little Pony on there. It has red eyes. It was smoking a joint with a tramp stamp of a pot leaf on its bottom. Oh, my God.
That person should run Dairy Queen.
It just gets better.
That's an awesome Dairy Queen.
It's the greatest.
Did you notice the other unusual thing about this story, Allie, that really surprised me? The mom called in to get the Moana cake for her daughter's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter is 25.
Loves Moana.
25.
Yeah. She sure is. She loves cartoons. That, again, also during the call. Yeah.
More disturbing. Full-grown woman having her mom call for a cartoon cake.
I know. There's a lot of things about this. But I do love that the family thought it was hysterical. They're like, we weren't mad. We just ate the cake. It was awesome. Just delighted me.
I love that Dairy Queen. Boy, that's a talented person working behind the counter.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
My Little Pony with red eyes and a tramp stamp?
That's going the extra mile, man.
It's really detailed. Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. All right, you guys, some birthdays for you. TV host John Henson, magician Justin Willman, Lil' Kim, Richie Sambora, Giorgio Armani, and Alessia Cara. And
the band that delighted us at the Weenie Roast a few weeks ago, Lumineers on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. This is very freaky, you guys.
Mm. Why?
You know how sometimes weird coincidences happen?
Yeah. Yes.
On Twitter, you know where it gives you the who to follow?
Mm-hmm.
Gives you the recommendations on people. Like NBC Breaking News is one of the ones on my... Get Up On This has just been recommended to me as who to follow.
Whoa.
Which is the podcast that Jensen did for years before he came over here to the Kevin and Bean Show, where he presents it for us every Thursday morning just after 7. So that is straight ahead. First, Allie's got what's happening here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's going on?
You guys, this is a story that just won't die, and I need them to kill it. Woodstock 50 has hit yet another bump in its plans to stage the festival in New York on August 16th.
That's like a month from now.
It's five weeks away.
It's not going to happen, guys.
They're trying to make Firefest look well-planned.
Exactly. The festival's effort to obtain a permit for its latest proposed location, Vernon Downs, has been denied. Following the festival's loss of its original Watkins Glen International venue earlier last month, promoters said that they were going to move forward to a new location. This appears to be it. And they can now submit for the date and have 5 days to appeal, but they're saying it's highly unlikely because they haven't met many of the requirements needed to get the permit.
Sure.
Yeah, you guys.
They're going to end up having it at a high school gym in North Dakota, aren't they?
I mean, there's no way they can have it. Because here's the thing. Tickets were originally supposed to go on sale April 22nd.
Sure.
It is July 11th.
Mm-hmm.
The show is August 16th through the 18th. Do you think, just some of the headliners,
mm-hmm.
Jay-Z, The Killers, Dead & Company, Black Keys, Imagine Dragons, do you think they're hanging out waiting?
You think they have it in their tentative calendars?
I mean, there's no possible way, right?
No, there's no way.
You can't even get the infrastructure together. You know, the permits for the highways and for the building, for the stage and for the lights and for the porta potties and all the other
stuff.
There's no way you can get that together that fast.
Mm-mm.
It's over. The dream is dead, you guys.
What do you think it is? Is it just someone that cannot admit defeat? Like, I just refuse to believe it. Is he that delusional that he just can't do it?
I think that's part of it. I think he thinks it's a big moneymaker, and it just behooves him to make it happen somehow, because he plans on making a lot of money on it.
Well, that's great, except for not only has he lost the location, now he can't get the second location. All the backers pulled out a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. Ding. Who's backing it now?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
He needs
to go away.
I would like it to be like Woodstock featuring like Afro Man, Harvey Danger.
I mean, you'd go.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely.
That's the only way I'm going.
And it's got to be in a gymnasium.
Yeah, or a Crate and Barrel. Just like after hours. It's big enough.
And it would be comfy. Like,
yeah,
you could like
sit down.
Yeah. All right.
Bar stools.
I guess we're back in. Guys, they rarely announce something this soon, but James Holzhauer's coming back to Jeopardy.
You guys, I'd like to see it.
Oh, okay. The pro sports bettor from Las Vegas, Nevada, will return to Jeopardy in November for the show's Tournament of Champions. As you'll all recall, he won 32 games straight, made about $2.4 million in earnings, set single game records all across the board, and most importantly, pretty much changed the way fundamentally that game is played forever.
That's actually true. Mm-hmm. Now, will we get the matchup we all want, which is him and Ken Jennings up at the same time?
I feel like that is more of an All-Stars, isn't it?
Oh, is that
because,
different from
this? Tournament of Champions tends to be more of like the most recent.
Yeah.
Okay. So it would be cool to see him up against Emma, who's the one that booted him off. But I could be wrong with that, but I feel like they wouldn't have a Ken Jennings come back for something like this.
All you know is more James on Jeopardy. That's all.
That's all I know and all I care about. But
that is the Mayweather, you know, Pacquiao fight.
For sure.
That's the one we're all waiting for.
We're all waiting.
I mean, that's
for
a primetime special if they do that.
Amen. The 10-day event will start on November 4th, run through the 15th, and 15 contestants going head-to-head. Overall winner taking home $250,000, which is like three games for him.
Yeah, right. Right. I'm surprised he gets out of bed for that amount of money. I want to see James versus Ken Jennings versus Microsoft's Watson. That's the three.
Ooh,
that's
that is
the
a good one.
That would be an amazing primetime special.
I'd like James versus Ken Jennings versus Tara Reid.
Oh. What if she just surprised everyone? She's like beyond Mensa. Like, she just can't go through, like, daily things. That's hard for her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But actual knowledge.
True genius.
Yeah, true
incredible.
Genius.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by
she names every British monarch in order from 1,000 years.
I feel like she could do it.
Yeah, she cures lung cancer.
I mean, let's not say it can't happen, is all I'm saying, you guys. Here's a story for you. Mother in Dixon, Illinois, arrested after a concerned resident noticed she was driving around with two kids on the roof of her car inside of an inflatable pool.
Sounds comfy.
By the way, this was on westbound Illinois Route 2, which she was going pretty fast. This wasn't like a side street type of thing. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You guys, she drove to this other town to have the pool inflated. Then how's it going to stay on the roof? You got to put two kids in there.
They were the paperweights.
They were holding it down. My gosh. She actually thought that would make the story better.
Were they tied? Was it tied down?
It doesn't say any of that. It just said she had her two young daughters ride inside of the empty pool to hold it down on their drive home.
Jensen, the photo I saw had no ropes visible.
Yeah.
Wow. Because then they're just surfing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah. She was placed under arrest for two counts of endangering the health of a child and two counts of reckless conduct.
This is the problem with this country, is you can't think a little bit outside the box to get stuff done, man. The man is always keeping you down.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we would have done this to inventors, they wouldn't have ever made the phone.
Thank you.
Very similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see the correlation.
If you're happy living in a world where we don't land on the moon, go ahead and rejoice in this story.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you think at some point a policeman pulled over the printing press and said, you can't be you?
Good point. Again, these are all great points, Jensen.
I mean, it's just a couple of little kids. I mean, seriously. Yeah.
And they were daughters, right?
We have enough of those.
We have enough girls. Uh-huh. Oh, dear. All right, some birthdays for you. Alessi Acara, Lil' Kim, Richie Sambora, Giorgio Armani, Justin Willman, and John Henson. And
1 week from today, Down in San Diego, the whale's vagina, it's the annual San Diego Comic-Con at the Convention Center, the biggest of its kind in the world. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Theater Box, home to the all-new TCL Chinese Theater in San Diego, and we want you to be there with us to enjoy. Give you a chance to win those tickets in about 5 minutes. 5 minutes from right now, Comic-Con tickets here on K-Rock. First, though, Jensen is here. Welcome back, son.
Oh, thanks so much. And every Thursday, I bring you the same thing. It's Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up.
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 On this.
24-year-old Frank Lopez Jr. of Sacramento is better known as Hobo Johnson of the group Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers. And he's he's the perfect hybrid fit for the new generation of alternative music. I'm telling you this now. He should be on this station, so I'm bringing him. Hobo is of Mexican-Portuguese descent. He is 19 when he was thrown out of his father's house and became temporarily homeless, hence the name Hobo Johnson, living in his car and working at a local pizzeria. But he quit and quickly decided to follow his true passion, making music, and he's been climbing the ladder of buzzworthy ever since. You see, in 2016, he released his debut album, The Rise of Hobo Johnson, which went relatively unheard until he taped a music video for an NPR Tiny Desk Concert contest.
Always my favorite.
But he didn't even win.
Oh.
He just made this video. They were like, let's see people who are trying to be on Tiny Desk.
Mm-hmm.
He put it on the internet. Didn't win the contest, but it went completely viral for a song called Peach Scone.
Oh.
Now, Hobo's unlike any artist before him, really. He rides the line between alternative rock and hip-hop and even spoken word. Almost like he sounds like a drunk Barney from The Simpsons at times.
Okay.
And it's totally different. At times, you may hear suicidal tendencies. Right? You may hear Eminem a little bit. You may even hear Rage Against the Machine in some of his songs.
So this is an imaginary artist that you've just made up.
Yeah, you're just saying words.
This is real. Beyond anything, he's having a lot of fun doing it, which you can tell. Now, he is not without controversy. He had a slight run-in with the Black Lives Matter movement a few years back. When he said he grew up in a certain city in Sacramento, they had some issues with what they believed he was representing. He got out of that kind of unscathed, but something that stayed with him. And to be honest, I like when Hobo embraces his alternative side a lot more than his hip-hop angles. Are you laughing every time
just
I say
every
Hobo?
Time you say Hobo like it's a normal name.
Listen, okay. that's what I'm calling the man. It seems more forced when he goes towards real rap music, mm-hmm. so I like more with what we're going to play. With that in mind, I am excited to see what he's going to do with his new album, The Fall of Hobo Johnson, which is being released in the next few months.
We got The Rise, and now it's The Fall?
Immediately.
So quick.
A grand opening, grand closing. Listen, he also has a large-scale tour. It's set to sell out through October and November. He's also playing Lollapalooza in Reading and Leeds, so he's got the angle going.
Yeah.
Let's get to his newest single, a song I believe is a perfect fit for this radio station. It's just released. We're going to play about a minute of it, so it's a little longer than I usually do. It's called Typical Story by Hobo Johnson.
It's a typical story where the bassist kills the singer, the guitarist and the drummer find they're in love with each other. It's the story of the kid who clearly won't know what to say when the love of his life starts to calmly walk away. And it's the story of the dad who decides to chase his dream. He quits his job, he falls apart, and he loses everything. And it's the story of the kid who just wants to make a record, loves him passive, but nobody ever, ever cares about it. Whoa. Staying the same or worsening. So what's the point of finding calm when calm to me is unsettling? Settle down, little kid. Your bones are shaking in your skin. Go and try and take a breath. I'm missing more.
Guys.
Okay, Hobo.
Hobo
it's very
Johnson.
Institutionalized, isn't it?
It is. See, that's the thing. And institutionalized comes up a lot in my mind when I'm listening to him, but I also don't think he knows the reference.
I'm sure.
It's
yeah.
kind
too
of,
young.
Yeah, way too young. So the music video also to that is very, very good if you're still watching music videos, something worth watching on the internet. October 14th, you can see Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers at the Wiltern. October 16th, you can see him at Orange County House of Blues. I'm assuming those will both sell out, so stay on top of it. Another thing amazing thing about Hobo Johnson, as if being homeless and living in your car at some point wasn't enough. He's also a Sacramento Kings fan, which is not an easy thing to do. So let's listen to another Hobo Johnson song. This is called DeMarcus Cousins and Ashley.
I love you like the stars left on the eyes. Our seven consecutive Friday nights. I love you like the dog hates the leash and the leash loves the dog. I got love nothing else at all. I love you like the Kings love to lose. And DeMarcus Cousins loves to ask the refs what he do. Oh, I love you like my dad loves my mom before they realize they don't love each other at all. I love you like the stars of lonely eyes on seven consecutive Friday nights. Love you like the Kings love to lose. And DeMarcus Cousins loves to ask the refs what he do.
It's just different.
It's very different. What was harder to overcome, homelessness or being a Kings fan?
They're about neck and neck, really, more than anything. You guys, Hobo Johnson and Lovemakers, there's a new album coming out, but there is an entire catalog on the Internet of Things. You can listen to Peach Scone, which is the song that got him virally famous.
I'm in, by the way. I don't know about you, Allie, but I'm in.
All I want is a Pepsi.
I'm telling you, it's got that vibe, right? Guys, Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers, that's my Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Thank you, Jensen. We promised you Comic-Con passes. We're delivering right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are going to play a game. Allie, anything we need to explain ahead of time or just call if you're a Comic-Con type person?
If you like movies and you know actors and actresses' names,
okay,
don't call. No, totally kidding. Call.
Okay, call 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game. It's the largest comic book convention in the world, you guys, and it's taking place in San Diego next week. In fact, a week from today, happening July 18th through the 21st. You can get more information at comic-con.org. But we would like you to join us down there right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Allie McMashup.
Mashup! Mashup! Allie McMashup's the name of the game! Matching up movies and actors on screen. You guess it right and you win the prize. Just tell her the name of the girl or the guy. Mash up, mash up. Just tell her the name of the girl or the guy. Mash up, mash up.
Whoa.
Mash up.
Whoa.
Wow.
Right in there. Very
nice. Beer mug.
Nice.
Anything you want to add to Beer Mug's intro? You're asking questions that require the name of an actor, right?
Yeah, just name the actor. It's somebody that you would see at a Comic-Con convention.
All right, sounds simple enough. We'll take them in order at 1-800-520-1067. We'll start on line one. This is going to be our man Victor checking in from Pomona. Victor, you're about to go in the drawing for the trip to San Diego. Good luck. Here's Allie.
All right, Victor. This guy was one of the most feared warlords. He had an arranged marriage to Daenerys. It didn't end up great. There was a spell. He was in a catatonic state. So she had to, you know, smother him to death because she just felt bad for him. But then we got to see him all wet and stuff as a half-human, half-Atlantean dude in the ocean. Win, win. Who is this handsome hunk of the sea?
The greatest man I know, Jason Momoa.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You are in the drawing. Thank you very much, Victor. Let's say hi to Richard Irvine. Up next, line two.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Richard. All right. This guy was all, what? Check out my retractable claw hands. This rules. And then he did a bunch of movies, and he's like, good day, mate. I'm out of here. Then he was a prisoner, 24601. Pretty miserable. And then he said, hey, Zac Efron, let's start a big old carnival and hang out with bearded ladies. You in? Who's this dude with weird hair and knifey hands?
That would be Hugh Jackman.
It would be.
I want to see a one-man show of Allie acting out all of Hugh Jackman's roles.
I was going to sing 24601, but I chose not to.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Monty's Paul up next, line three on K-Rock.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Paul. How have you been doing on hold?
Good. I got both of them.
Excellent. So all right. I think you'll do good with this. This guy is known for so many different roles, as if you don't remember him in Clueless, or the one that's real busy slapping the bass, or as one of my favorite reporters, Brian Fontana. He's the one that told us about that cologne sex panther. It's illegal in 9 countries, and yeah, it's made with little bits of panther, so you know it's good. But you Comic-Con heads will probably know him as a dude that shrinks down into a tiny insect. Who's this talented actor?
We share the same first name, Paul Rudd.
You sure do, Paul.
Mash up!
Excellent.
3 for 3, as usual. Ton of ladies calling in to go to Comic-Con this year.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say hi to another one. It's going to be Matt in Anaheim. Hey, Matt.
Hey, morning.
Hey, Matt. All right, this dude is on fire like a human torch fire. This guy was hanging out with a fellow superhero back in 2010 in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. He was cast opposite Brie Larson. Yeah, Captain Marvel herself. But neither of them knew that they would soon have superpowers. How cool is that? Then he was all, enough of this. Give me a big old shield. Let's head back to the 1940s. And then he was in, like, every superhero movie, it seems. And he's a complete masshole and loves the Patriots, which makes sense, because America. Who's this handsome gent?
I mean, there were a lot of clues.
Oh, no. Is he gone?
Did he
hang up?
Oh, no.
He got fed up.
I understand.
I think it was the word masshole.
It happens. All right.
Why don't we go to Adrian and let him answer that question since he heard it on hold?
Adrian, did you hear the question on hold?
Yes. Captain America?
We're looking for the actor's name. I don't
know. Oh, my gosh. I can't think of his name.
Oh.
Adrian. You should be deported.
Adrian!
I got all the rest of them.
You should be deported. Get out of my country.
Oh, sorry, Adrian.
Get off my phone.
Beat it, kid.
All right. All right. Should we just give that one away, Allie?
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that was Chris Evans. We're looking for Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We got a couple more people that want to get into the drawing to go to Comic-Con. Javier Anaheim up next.
Hey, Javier.
Hey.
Would you have gotten Chris Evans? Is it Xavier or Javier?
Xavier.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's an X there.
My bad. I apologize.
Cool way, to out yourself as racist, guys.
Wow, way to go, dude. All right. Xavier, like Xavier, he was the head of the Cabbage Patch.
Okay. Not the X-Men?
No.
I think the X-Men would be more on point here, but okay. Here's your question, Xavier. Listen up.
Just saying. Cabbage Patch Kid heads will know.
Okay.
All right. So this guy can do just about anything, play any role, fully immerse himself. Need him to lose a ton of weight? Done. Gain it all back? Done. Rinse, repeat with this guy. It's a bummer, though, that his folks were killed. I wonder if that's what made him such a psycho and made him kill all those ladies. But most recently, he transformed into one of the scariest of all villains, Vice President Dick Cheney. Who is this guy?
For Batman, what the hell's his name?
That's it. We're looking for the Batman guy. Yeah, who is he? Oscar winner.
Javier. Hey, Xavier.
Xavier.
All right. Seven.
Oh, man.
Doesn't know Christian Bale's name.
Christian Bale.
See, right. You were making fun of me. Now I get to make fun of you and hang up on you, too.
Oh, jeez.
All right. One more. Let's make it to Fernando in Glendale.
Fernando, Hello. You there?
I am.
Want to hear something weird? We were talking about Xavier Roberts, who's head of the Pumpkin Patch, my first Cabbage Patch Kid, Fernando Phillips. I like this.
Mash up!
All right. Okay, so Bean paid thousands of dollars to accompany this actress on a red carpet, and then he never showed up, which is probably why she's now engaged to Colin Jost from SNL. Jost?
It is Jost.
Okay.
It's Javier.
Here's why, because she just gave up on men entirely. When she's not enraging people by starring in a role that should have gone to an Asian, she's living it up, most likely on the lookout for a guy like Kevin, because she's all spidery, like a black widow. But honestly, she's just not that into you. Who's this woman?
Scarlett Johansson.
It is Scarlett Johansson. Fernando.
Okay.
Does your head smell like powder? Because my Cabbage Patch Kid, his head smells like
unbelievable.
Powder.
Fernando, also Victor, Richard, and Paul are all in the running. They're all hoping to be going to San Diego at the Comic-Con at the Convention Center next week. Who's it going to be, Jensen Karp?
It is Fernando.
Fernando.
Yay.
Come on, man.
Come by and see us broadcasting live from Theater Box, home to the all-new TCL Chinese Theater in San Diego next Thursday and Friday. Congratulations. Thanks for playing Allie McMashup.
Allie McMashup's the name of the game.
Thanks for joining us. on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KROQ. If you haven't noticed, our friend Jensen Karp is back, taking a couple of days off from the hospital. Mm-hmm. Jensen, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you. We're going to talk to Dr. Jupinski like we do every Thursday morning coming up just after 8 about comedian and magician Penn Jillette, who lost 105 pounds by fasting 23 hours a day. He swears by it, by the way, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's still doing it.
That's what my baby's kind of doing, just staying awake 1 hour a day. 23 of them asleep.
Well, he doesn't need to lose any weight, though.
No.
Penn lost
you should see Adler's
pounds.
Magic, though.
Really?
Oh, killing
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
right?
A lot of sleight of hand.
Yeah.
So we'll find out from Dr. Drew if that's a good idea coming up just after 8 o'clock. First, though, everybody knows about the Mandela effect, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Mandela effect is that many people, maybe even most people, if they have any awareness at all of who Nelson Mandela was, they imagine that he died in jail. He was in jail for 27 years, and he died behind bars. It was so sad, he never got freedom. For whatever reason, that's what most people think happened to Nelson Mandela, when in fact, he got out of prison and was a free man when he died in 2013. But they call it the Mandela effect because for some reason, people just heard that he went away to jail for a long time and then didn't follow up on the story, so they just assumed he died there. And there have been lots of examples of the Mandela effect that we've talked about on this show. I mean, I think you all know, I got to bring up Kazam, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kazam is one of the biggies, or Shazam. Which one is it?
It is Shazam.
Shazam.
You're Shazam talking about the one.
Sinbad the Sinbad
thing.
Movie.
Yeah.
It's where he's a genie.
But that's not what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, totally. I remember it. I had it on VHS.
That's right.
Never existed.
So Shaquille O'Neal starred in a movie called Kazam,
yes.
But for some reason, people think Sinbad starred in a similar movie called Shazam.
Or just played a genie in a movie,
right.
Which
played
never.
A genie.
And then there's the one Berenstain Bears.
Yes,
yeah.
That is another very famous Mandela effect. The Berenstain Bears.
Nope, it's Berenstain Bears.
It's Berenstain, weirdly.
It is very weirdly Berenstain Bears.
Nope.
And it was a family of bears
yeah.
in a series of children books created by Stan and Jan Berenstain. So their name is on the cover and the Berenstain Bears is on the cover.
Yeah.
But
people remember seeing the cover.
Yes.
Yes.
Which isn't
people say
true.
It's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So both of those have gotten a lot of attention in recent years. I found an article recently about other Mandela effects that people may or may not be aware of. For instance, if I were to ask you to describe the Monopoly Man, how mm-hmm. would you describe him? What do you remember about the Monopoly Man?
A mustache and a monocle.
Mm-hmm.
And a little suit.
Oh, he
little
didn't
suit?
Have a monocle, did he? Yeah, a monocle and maybe a pipe.
I don't think he had a pipe.
But a suit, a mustache, a top hat?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Also sounds like Mr. Planters or whatever, but yes.
Well, it's interesting that you guys hit on both of those because his name is Rich Uncle Pennybags, also known as Mr. Monopoly.
That was my rap name.
He is the mascot for Monopoly. Some insist that Pennybags completes his top hat and business attire ensemble with a monocle.
Yep.
But that is not true. He has never had a monocle.
Damn it.
Mr. Moneybags does not have a monocle. People appear to be conflating his depiction with that of Mr. Peanut,
yeah.
the Planters mascot who does sport a monocle.
Yeah.
Apparently that's because our brain can easily take subjects with similar traits and blend them together. All right, number two. If you look forward to your school lunch break because your parent or guardian packed a Jiffy peanut butter sandwich, then your childhood may be a lie. There is no such thing and never has been as Jiffy peanut butter.
No, it's Jif.
Or
choosy mothers choose Jif.
And Skippy, right?
Yes,
that is
yes.
correct.
So it's mixing the two things together.
That's funny.
That's exactly what has happened,
Jensen. But there was Jiffy popcorn.
Yes, Jiffy
yes.
Pop.
Yes, okay.
While both Jif and Skippy brands have lined store shelves, there has never been a Jiffy brand. That may be a false memory by incorporating elements into the reconstruction process of Jif and Skippy.
Wow.
And it's encoded in your memory and becomes a false memory.
Was it Jif or is it GIF? Do we know?
Giffy, a completely different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've talked about, and many people by now know, that nowhere in The Empire Strikes Back does Darth Vader say, Luke, I am your father.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the line that is in the movie. Another one that people swear is in the movie is, hello, Clarice, from The Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, hello, Clarice.
Also never said in the film. It's something that people do when they're looking to do an impression of Anthony Hopkins. They say, "Hello, Clarice." Didn't happen. Not true. That wasn't a very good impression, was it?
Nailed it.
It was very good, actually.
If you are
for a
old
later
enough,
drop, please.
If you're old enough, perhaps you remember seeing Ed McMahon showing on the doorsteps to hand people oversized checks and balloons because they struck it rich in the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes.
Yes.
Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Come on, you're not taking that away from me.
Never happened.
He Ed would McMahon... ring your doorbell with balloons and the big check, and they'd be like, "What? No."
Ed McMahon never made any house calls. In fact, he didn't even work for the Publishers Clearinghouse.
Stop, no,
stop
no,
it.
No,
what's
no.
going on? What are you
That's
taking away?
True. That's not true.
Are my parents?
He endorsed American Family Publishers, which was a similar company, but did not go door to door and did not work for Publishers Clearinghouse.
I think I used to say, like, wow. I hope Ed McMahon shows
yes.
up at our house. And
yes.
all he would have been is just bothering us. He wouldn't even yeah. have had money.
Right. So that is another Mandela effect.
What?
Isn't that interesting? Because we do... I think because the Publisher Clearinghouse commercials ran all the time, and we always thought how cool that would be. And then we also saw Ed McMahon talking about money, so we just put the two and two together. All right, another one. Talking
this.
Mandela effect here on the Kevin Amin Show. Do you remember Risky Business from 1983, one of Tom Cruise's big breakout films? You
yeah.
may remember the scene, the very famous
just take
scene?
Those old records off the shelf.
And he's wearing like
and he's
a button-up shirt and underwear.
And socks, and he slides into the shot.
Yeah.
That is all correct.
Okay.
Many people remember him as also wearing sunglasses
yeah,
in that scene.
He wears
Absolutely.
Sunglasses, and he takes them off, and he's like,
yeah.
what's up, man?
Which he does not. There
what?
Are no sunglasses
no.
in that scene.
What's going on here? What's my name? Is it Jensen?
Tom Cruise dancing in his underwear with his dress shirt and no Ray-Bans. If you watch
really?
That now iconic scene again, you may be surprised to see that Cruise is not wearing sunglasses. The mistake likely comes from seeing him in shades in other scenes or in the film's advertising material. When you watch a movie, it's a big chunk of information, and a lot of things happen in that chunk. When you go back to recreate it in your mind, you get interference from other things that happen in the movie. Would you have sworn that he had sunglasses on?
I'm watching it right now just to make sure you're
oh,
telling
you think he's
the
lying.
Truth. There's no way.
The reverse Nelson Mandela effect where someone tells you something
yeah.
didn't happen, but
All right.
it did.
He's about to slide in the picture. Now he's got his head down. He's about to turn around. Oh, my God. No sunglasses. Oh, my God.
But is Ed
no!
McMahon at his door ready to give him a big check?
With a bunch of balloons.
Oh, my gosh.
When you see... One more here. When
okay.
you see Fruit of the Loom underwear
mm-hmm. yeah.
on television, I don't know if that's something you've ever bought, but when you see the ads on TV...
Mm-hmm.
Describe the fruit for me.
There's a big grape.
Yep, there's grapes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there a banana or is that just because I'm
That's
thinking of
pretty,
underwear?
Yeah. There's definitely grapes.
Yeah.
There's purple grapes.
I remember the grapes.
Okay. Is the fruit actually on the label, not the characters that are playing the fruit in the commercials?
No,
the actual fruit that's on the label, is it in a basket?
No.
Very good, Jensen.
It's not in a basket. I think you only see like 3/4 of it, but it's coming out of the name.
Many people believe that it was in a basket, but it was always illustrated as just a pile of food. It's not sitting on a table. It's not in a basket. It's not spilling out of anything, which is how most people remember it.
Yeah.
They remember that fruit was involved, and they begin to think, well, how is fruit usually portrayed as a cornucopia, which is not a word most of us ever come up with, but that is apparently a brain reconstruction. There is no basket. There is no table.
Well, that's just how many underwears I wore on my head as a joke as a kid.
So the takeaway here, you guys, is that Mr. Monopoly did not have a monocle.
Right.
There is no such thing as Jiffy peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs did not say, "Hello, Clarice."
That's right.
The fruit is not in a basket.
Mm, and everything,
Ed McMahon did not come to your door with a giant check.
There's no way.
Tom Cruise is not wearing sunglasses in the famous Risky Business scene where he's dancing to Bob Seger. But I think we decided there is a movie that stars Sinbad called Shazam, right?
Absolutely. He's a genie on the cover, and he's got the head thing, and he might be wearing purple.
That one's very true.
Yeah.
At least, hey, Miss Hallie McKay.
Hey, Mr. Bean.
What is going on?
Thank you for asking. Forbes has released its list of the top 100 highest paid entertainers. And we're talking, these could be singers, they could be actors, they could be musicians, also singers, athletes that act. I mean, it just runs the gamut. But I am going to ask you if you can name anyone in just the top 10.
Well, I'm going to have to recuse myself on this one.
Did you see it?
Having seen the list, yes.
Okay.
Right, I have not seen it, so I'll take some guesses.
Yes.
Joanna Man?
No, just outside the top 10.
Okay.
George Wilbur?
Mm-mm.
Debbie?
Debbie. Ooh, let me scan this. Nope, no Debbie.
Bobo,
no. However, Bobo is in Cypress Hill, and there is a band
in the top ten. I know a top fiver.
Kaiser Permanente?
That is a hospital? No.
Jesus?
Nope, Jesus wouldn't make money.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
No, AOC is not on this list.
Willie Tanner?
Who?
Willie Tanner.
Willie Tanner, no. Oh. No.
It is none other than Grammy Award winner Kenny G.
Oh, he's got to be on it. He has to be on it.
He is not the musician or the band in the top 10.
I thought you, holy moly, for sure got him in the top 10.
Nope.
Yitzhak Rabin.
Nope. I don't even know who that is.
Lots of other people. It also could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
Could be.
Could be.
Is not.
Willie Tanner.
Again, nope.
Is it Dick?
No.
Pablo from Nicaragua.
I wish it was.
All right, I have, okay.
World, what's his name?
What?
All right, Jensen, for real, though.
Okay, Ariana Grande.
Nope, not in the top 10.
Very cool. I do think that Kanye had a very good year based on the shoes, so I'll think Kanye's in the lower half of 10.
I'm glad you brought that up, because Bean could not understand why Kanye West was number 3.
Number 3!
That's crazy.
Yes.
He just had a good shoe year. Isn't that what it's all about?
That's what it was.
But I mean,
real good.
A good shoe year, like hundreds of millions of dollars are good?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Are his shoes anything special?
I don't love them because of the feel, and also I'm not necessarily a big Kanye fan, but people like them, man. They're all those Adidas are very comfortable, from what I'm told.
He gets a per-shoe royalty of 15% on the wholesale, so that's
not bad. Is he at this point making way more money with his shoes than he is with his music?
Yes. Oh, for sure.
He's not even really releasing music.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But that's like Rihanna. Is Rihanna in the top 10? Because her clothing line made her a ton of money this year, and she barely released any music.
No, you're talking Fenty, the makeup line. Fenty. No.
Oh, yeah. No. I guess it's not clothing.
No.
Okay, so people who are rich this year. Mm-hmm. Is Ed Sheeran on the list?
He sure is. He's at number 5.
Okay.
So now you have number 3 and number 5.
I can't believe Ariana Grande's not on there. Mm-mm. Taylor Swift.
She is number 1.
There you go.
Yagil Taylor.
That was the stadium tour, I guess, the biggest tour of all time.
Katy Perry.
No.
Who am I missing? Oh, I guess Bean can't get involved.
Think about some athletes that might be on there.
Okay.
And don't think of American athletes.
Oh, so I'm thinking of like,
what's Football.
His name? Yeah, it's not Beckham. It's Ronaldo.
Yep, he is number 6.
Okay.
Messi is number 4.
That makes sense. Wow, the soccer dudes, man.
Neymar is number 7.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They represent, man.
You are missing, however, the band, you guys.
Oh, the band U2?
Mm-mm.
The band Lit?
Mm-mm.
Those are the only two bands I know.
Okay, it's the Eagles.
Really?
The Eagles, yes. Let me do the top 10.
Is that catalog sales? What is that?
No, that's touring.
No, their tour was nuts. Mm. Yeah.
I thought Hootie after hearing your review.
My goodness, was it great. Number 10, Canelo Alvarez. Wow, he had a good year.
Yeah.
Right? A
couple of big fights.
Number 9, Dr. Phil. Come on. It's upsetting.
What did he make last year?
I don't know. I'd have to click through a bunch of stuff.
Right. I'm stunned that in 2019, he's still making that much money.
Yeah, insane. Number 8, the Eagles. 7, Neymar. 6, Cristiano Ronaldo. Number 5, Ed Sheeran. Number 4, Lionel Messi. Number 3, Kanye West. Number 2, you didn't get. But think about makeup.
Oh, Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner.
That makes sense.
Number 2, and Taylor Swift coming in number 1, you guys.
Those are some rich folks, and many of them are quite young.
Yeah.
And first two female.
Absolutely.
Love that.
There you have it, you guys. This is interesting. Snapchat is partnering with stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Kevin Hart on 2 new short-form shows. Schwarzenegger will be giving fans motivational advice in his short-form series, Rules of Success with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good for you.
And then Kevin Hart, we don't know. His is being kept under wraps.
I'm fascinated by this.
Oh, well, you should know what you're doing. It's
What's going on?
Well, it's Rules of Success with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can tell us some rules of success.
You shouldn't be talking.
Well, I'm telling the story about how you're partnering with Snapchat.
My sunglasses were damaged.
He's mad about that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be the first show.
What a day.
Right? Ooh, long day filming a short form for Snapchat.
That is funny.
It is. By the way, other people getting their own shows include Serena Williams, Maddie Ziegler, internet comedian Ricky Thompson, and a bunch of YouTubers I've never heard of. So, good way to get back in that game, Snapchat.
The girl of my dreams.
Okay.
And give it up for the governor, by the way, who never slows down, never stops working, never stops hustling.
No, he had a kid and no one even knew.
Yeah.
Very true.
Got a lot going on.
He's very busy.
This is hot. It is hot in every which way you can think of. It is hot.
I would like to thank everybody that tweeted me and emailed me this story and said, not sure why I thought of you when I heard this. And I thought, that's a bad brand that I have right now. But Clay County Sheriff's Office in Missouri, they wrote an incident on Facebook where they were trying to catch a guy who was wanted for possession of a controlled substance. And they were searching for him. He was hiding. And you know what gave him away? Really loud fart. He was hiding, farted, and they found him. Here's what they wrote on Facebook. If you've got a felony warrant out for your arrest, the cops are looking for you, and you pass gas so loud it gives up your hiding spot, you're definitely having a poop emoji day. Guys, he farted, and they're like, oh, there he is over there on the left.
Does it say whether Omar will be released in time to come back to work on Monday?
There are a couple stories that have happened this week that were like, this is Omar. That's could why he's not in.
Yeah, it could be him.
I mean, you guys, that's just bad. Like, you know. Okay. He was holding that bad boy in.
I want to smell it.
Okay. Some birthdays for you. John Henson, Justin Willman, Giorgio Armani, Richie Sambora, Lil' Kim, and Alicia Cara.
K-Rock Road Trip 2019, destination number 3 is Smashing Pumpkins in Chicago, you guys. You win tickets to see them locally along with AFI and Noel Gallagher at the Five Point in Irvine, end of August, and you qualify for the trip to see them to Chicago. Round trip airfare, 2-night hotel stay. It's K-Rock Road Trip 2019, destination number 3. You guys ready for some Dr. Drew love?
Please.
Always.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
Good. What do you got for me today?
Well, first of all, we can speak freely since Kevin is in the hospital right now.
I heard about this.
He apparently got bit by a brown recluse spider.
Yep.
That's pretty serious, right?
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, every time I've had a physician, a colleague, tell me that somebody's bit by a brown recluse, it turned out to be a regular spider bite that just got a staph infection and began spreading. It mm-hmm. doesn't really matter. It's some sort of tissue destroying infection locally, and I heard it's in the back of his neck, which mm-hmm. is really
yes.
dangerous.
And he's been in like 3 different times to have dead skin cut away, and now it's gotten to the point where they're going to have to go even deeper and give him a skin graft.
Yeah, good times.
Good
it's really, it's really nasty, and it's no, that is not funny.
I do
no. no fooling.
I do have my own theory on it that he got like a Japanese lettering tattoo up under his neck, and that this is his excuse. Oh, they're removing the skin because of a brown recluse.
Well, it may or may not be the case, but I love how you're thinking.
Thank
and from
you.
Now on, anyone who needs to get such tattoos taken out, remember this moment.
Yeah, just have a brown recluse bite you in the neck.
Yeah,
all
forget
right.
the laser treatments. Let's go just carve out your flesh.
Absolutely.
Here's the topic. I was fascinated by this. Penn Jillette, who is the same height as I am, 6'6", at one point weighed 330 pounds. He was a big, big man. He, of course, is a famous comedian and magician from the Penn & Teller Act in Las Vegas. He realized he had a health problem, and he did not want to die young. So he did the right thing, which is start improving his diet. And he decided he was going to take a radical approach to dieting, Dr. Drew. He said, easy is your enemy. I'm going to make it hard, he said. First of all, don't take health advice from a Las Vegas magician. But here's what I decided to do, was to fast for 23 hours of every day. And then during that 1 hour that I do eat, it's whole food, plant-based, hardcore vegan, vegetables, no processed food, no sugar. No surprise that it worked for him. He ended up losing 105 pounds. He looks great now. I just can't imagine this is how the human body is meant to operate, doctor.
Well, I would actually, I agree and disagree. Let me start with disagreeing, that probably, we probably evolved in such a way that that is how we ate out in the savannas. We would have access, particularly to large amounts of protein, in very intermittent fashion. It wasn't like we had somebody, when we were evolving, we didn't even have produce. We didn't have farming yet. And so this is probably how we ate. We probably ate large amounts of protein in very sort of sparse, rare encounters where we could find it. And there's nothing inherently wrong with this. However, the issue is maintaining body protein, right? Because your body will start to metabolize your protein in addition to the fat. And at 23 hours, you're probably going to be taking down your muscle. And you can even get into things like damaging your heart.
Okay.
That's not a ringing endorsement.
No.
No. So it's agree and disagree.
It isn't. I mean, I guess what you're saying makes sense going back to the old days. But don't most people on a healthy diet now feel like you need to eat two or three times? I mean, most diets seem to want you to eat multiple times a day, just small amounts and healthy foods, right? There's a reason for that.
That has been a sort of recommendation for many, many years. But intermittent fasting is becoming more and more a recommendation for people that need to lose weight or have problems where they put weight on very easily, people with metabolic syndrome, things like that. In fact, the diet is always evolving. It's so complicated. It's very difficult for us to make really accurate recommendations. However, again, metabolic syndrome is me. I have metabolic syndrome. People who put their adipose tissue around their midline have insulin resistance, have high cholesterol and high blood pressure. That is me. It's in my family.
All right, stop bragging, Drew.
I know, it's good times. And I'll join Kevin with the skin grafting as well. But there's some new data that showed that for people like me, all carbohydrates are bad. It's not the fats anymore. It's the carbohydrates that may be the enemy. And they and the insulin may actually be causing damage to our arteries and not the cholesterol.
Is this why you're doing this all meat all the time?
Well, it came to me. So it was recommended to me before the data came out. And I felt so much better and everything. All my numbers got much better. And I thought, wow, I'll just stick with it. And then this data started coming out in the last, 4 months. Hmm. So again, this is very difficult. But intermittent fasting, here's the thing about intermittent fasting. People have differing mechanisms, sort of hormonal mechanisms around hunger and satiation. Some people can easily, you know, take a small meal, be satiated, eat properly during that meal, and sort of be okay. Other people, again, me, people like me, once you start eating, it's hard to stop. And if you're an intermittent faster, it tends to help with that problem.
Of course, that makes sense. And it's part of the problem why we all struggle so much with ways to take off the weight and leave off the weight is because there are a million different diets out there with a million different opinions, and it's not a one-size-fits-all problem, right? Like, metabolism is different than mine. We may require vastly different approaches to try to get the same results.
That's exactly right. And so these, you know, generally speaking, extreme solutions are probably not the best. I mean, obviously, it makes sort of common sense that adequate protein, again, whether or not we are all plant-based or not, this is an ongoing conversation. I mean, I think that the pendulum has interestingly tilted back towards animal products, again, as something essential to our overall health, and again, for people with metabolic syndrome especially. But one day, we will be able to test our genetic code and say, this is the diet for you. There are things like that out there already now.
Right.
But one day, we'll be able to do it with great accuracy.
Now, Drew, when you first started talking about your diet, I asked you about your meat sweats, and you're like, what are meat sweats?
I know.
And then the next time you came on, you're like, oh, Allie, I now know what meat sweats are. Has that tapered off for you?
It stopped completely.
Really?
I'm trying to induce them. I can't.
You missed them. All right. So you would say, in general, you wouldn't advise the 23-hour-a-day fasting like Pam Gillette.
Well, but if it's weight against, not pun not intended, being 300 pounds and maybe becoming diabetic, I would then say I would err on the side of that fasting diet if that's what works. I mean, that certainly is healthier than being 300 pounds.
Yeah. Certainly so. Yeah.
Yeah. Die skinny.
Dr. Drew is doing middays over on 790 KABC from noon till 3. He's got a bunch of podcasts, including a former friend of the program, Mr. Skin, is on the Dr. Drew podcast this week.
Yes, he is.
Is there a place for Mr. Skin in the 21st century, Dr. Drew?
He still has got thousands of advocates, and he can't believe it, but he seems to be thriving.
All right. Also, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast, The Swole Patrol with Mike Catherwood and Dr. Drew After Dark. This week's episode, Jamie Kennedy. Don't forget, you can download the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play to see a doctor in the comfort of your own home. We always enjoy your expertise, doctor. Thanks so much for coming on. We'll do it again next Thursday.
Can you wait until the masterpiece is finished?
Seriously. Oh, it's not Jesus. Like we're going to hear that again tomorrow morning.
Okay, I apologize. God. I shouldn't have stepped on the magic. Could you guys even go 23 hours in a row without eating? I would be too weak to walk.
That whole segment made me hungry. Yeah. I can't.
So, I was eating during the segment.
He was eating nuts.
Macadamia nuts.
I don't know how you would do that. Yeah. Especially a busy guy like Penn Jillette who's got a job. You know, I just don't know how you could... I don't know. Maybe not for me, you guys. All right. Jensen is back. Welcome.
Hi.
We were having a conversation a couple of days ago about my UK plan if radio doesn't pan out, and I'm hoping it will. Hey, anyone in British radio who happens to be listening to this podcast, daddy needs a job, okay?
Oh, not helping.
Oh, boy.
But if it doesn't
happen... Don't ever say daddy.
If it doesn't happen, I have a backup plan, as I've explained on the show here, which is that I have decided to go work for the Royal Mail. And that scratches a long-time itch that I've had to be a mail carrier. We spoke with some carriers yesterday, by the way, who love the job. And I feel like I will love the job, too. And one of the offhanded benefits of having a job like that, where you walk the streets and knock on people's doors and deliver mail, is especially a guy like, you know, a handsome guy like me with a good head of hair... The ladies are going to be waiting for me.
Right? Man in uniform?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ladies are going to be looking at they're going to be checking that kitchen clock. What time does the mailman show?
Because women are always in the kitchen.
As barefoot they should be. And pregnant.
As they should be.
You're the worst.
So, what I'm saying is I expect to be greeted at the door frequently, and I think the example I gave with robes that are just conveniently a little open. Okay?
Slightly askew.
Slightly askew, yes. So, Allie, I believe you were the first to mock me for this.
I was like, women are not going to be hanging out with their robe open. Like, oh, thank you, Mr. Mailman. You got a package for me. I'm like, it just doesn't happen, Bean. What is wrong with you?
I would like to introduce you to Kevin and Bean listener Merced, who joins us on the show right now, who tweeted in after that remark a couple of days ago. Merced, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys?
We're great. Thank you so much for writing in. Now, you were not a mailman. Unfortunately, you did not have that honor, but you did have a job where you made deliveries. What did you do?
Yeah, I used to deliver furniture for about 12 years. So.
Okay.
Oh, sounds like you liked it.
And how does your experience relate to the conversation we're having?
Well, when you said that and Allie started making fun of you, it just really brought back the memories of doing early morning deliveries and having the lady open the door, and she's dressed in like skimpy nightgowns, and you're like, people don't sleep like that. Why is she dressed like that?
Uh-huh.
And we would always say, well, is she dressed up for us? No, it can't be. But it would happen more than once.
So you were wondering if she just didn't care who saw her. That's just what she happened to be wearing at the time when she opened the door, or if she was thinking about, hey, young strapping Merced coming in here, maybe he's got an extra delivery to make.
I don't know about all of that. I think they were just trying to mess with us, or probably it was just hard to say. It was really uncomfortable at times because, you know, things would be hanging out and you're trying not to be rude because they'll get pissed at you and, you know, get you fired or whatever.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, this was lingerie, Merced. This was like pieces.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Wow. More than once. Definitely. Yes.
And you also said in your tweet, boobs hanging out. Now, that puts you in an uncomfortable position because, like you said, you can't really mention that, but it's also kind of impossible to ignore.
Right. Yeah. One specifically, it was a delivery in an apartment in Hollywood. And, you know, we start setting up the bed and whatever, and then she comes in and she's wearing like a bustier thing. And I'm like, what the heck? And you pay attention. All of a sudden, you have big old nipple just sticking out, and I'm like, oh man, I don't think she knows what's going on, or maybe she's doing it on purpose. And my helper is just cracking up, laughing, and you're just trying to get through, and I'm like, oh,
she's
man.
Like, Merced, how much longer with that bed? How much longer until
right.
It's ready?
Can we try it out? how about the men who answered the door? Any experience with them, Merced?
You would love this, being the older gentleman, so like the ones that would be waiting for the mail, love to wait in their boxers. You know, and not the boxer briefs, the loose boxers that open up.
Yeah.
Go on.
A little poke out.
Talk
yeah.
a little slower, Merced.
yeah, little poke out indeed, yes.
Jensen, you have anything you want to confess here about answering the door in your boxers?
Well, I do have to admit that until recently, Danielle did point out, she was like, don't answer. I used to answer the door in my boxers because I believe people thought they were shorts.
No one believes boxers are shorts.
I know. Danielle pointed that out. Danielle was like, no one has ever thought those are shorts.
Did you think, oh, they've got checkers. People think they're Bermudas.
Well, no, because they're like kind of a tighter brief, so I thought maybe they thought they were bike shorts.
That's worse!
I know. I was wrong. I admit when I was wrong.
Worse.
I admit when I was wrong.
Cool. And do you remember Merced coming to your house and vowing to get out of the furniture delivery business?
No.
We used to deliver in the Valley a lot.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, that's true. That does play when I open the door for delivery people.
Yeah, sure. You got Pony on your doorbell.
Yeah.
Merced, did the surprises on your route have anything to do with you getting out of that business, or did it just happen that way?
No. The older I got tired of carrying heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And then people are weird. Not only crazy, like getting dressed up and being all uncomfortable. People really are rude. So I was like, I need to step off.
Yeah. I got it. Well, listen, I'm so glad you shared the experience. I put in my application online yesterday. I'm going to see how fast I can move to the UK. I was planning on staying until the end of the year. But I hope to be gone by this weekend. So thank you so much for coming on, all right?
You're very welcome, guys. And I really appreciate it. And I really love listening to you guys. You guys helped us drive.
You're awesome.
I'm still working the truck, so you guys help me out in the morning. It's really
cool,
man.
I'm so sorry.
Thanks,
I answered the door with my little penis poking out.
Jensen, anytime.
Sorry about my left nipple.
That's
a good one.
We are looking for other Merceds who have first-person experience on this. If you have been a delivery person of any kind, doesn't have to be a mailman, but anyone who, I mean, you're checking the gas meter, whatever it is, you're going house to house. We want to hear about the crazy stuff that you have seen. And by the way, I don't mind opening this up, Allie. It doesn't necessarily just have to be, you know, ladies and bustiers, right?
Yeah.
Just crazy stuff.
Whatever
you saw. Going to people's houses.
I mean, my cable guy's got some stories.
I bet he does.
Right?
Had laid plenty of cable at your house. So 1-800-520-1067.
Wow, someone's day horny.
You had a job where you went to people's houses. We want to hear what's behind those front doors. Call us. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Taking your calls on the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. You had the type of job that required you to go door to door. What sorts of things did you see on your delivery route? We're taking you at 1-800-520-1067. And George is going to be up first from Paramount. Hey, Jorge, what's going on, man?
Yeah, what's going on, party people?
Tell us your job and tell us what you saw.
Yeah, so I used to work for FedEx. And I was doing a delivery around the Venice Beach area. And, you know, it has one of those doors, the privacy doors, where they get to see who you are before you go in or they buzz you in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to the door, rang the doorbell. They went ahead and answered, buzzed me in. And while I was walking in and I was entering, I walked into a porn shoot. There was people banging on the right of me, people banging on the left of me, and I still had to walk up the little aisle to the door to deliver this package.
And now
and
you're
it wasn't
in a
one
movie.
Of those where I could just drop it off. Yeah, I know, right?
Did they tell you whether they had a scene for a FedEx delivery guy? Because
right?
A lot of movies do get started like that.
Yeah, I wasn't about to put a little glory hole in that package.
Wow.
Okay. That just got a little more descriptive than it needed to be.
Really, really taking this running.
All right, George. Thank you for the call and too much information. 1-800-520-1067. You had a delivery job. What'd you see? We'll talk to you next. No glory holes needed on K-Rock. I have a feeling being an employee of the Royal Mail is going to be more fun than I ever expected, Allie. I mean, based on the calls we're getting
unreal.
And the texts they're coming in.
Yeah, a true blast.
Kevin in the 951 Riverside, I used to deliver pizza, and more times than I could count, I was met at the door by women, if not completely naked, then dressed very scantily. From the 805, I've been a UPS driver for 27 years, and I can tell you that I have seen way more naked men than naked women answering the door.
Makes sense.
I mean, I'm down for whatever. I don't know about you guys, but let's go to JJ in Anaheim. Up first in this segment, 1-800-520-1067. JJ, thank you for listening, holding, and calling. What's going on?
What's up, my people? Yeah, so I was a meat eater. So, you know, go to house to house all over, you know, all over the cities and stuff. And I was in Anaheim, just doing my thing, went to my backyard, and there's a guy just mowing the lawn all naked.
Oh.
Mowing the lawn naked? Yeah. Did he at least have shoes on?
I think he just had socks on.
Oh.
That's a twist.
Yeah, that sounds like a real...
colored socks, too.
It's like a hazard.
Well, the no shoes is a definite hazard, but yeah. I think like a wiener just flopping around. Yeah. Nothing's going to hit that.
The funny part about it is that she needed a lawnmower on his private part.
Oh, boy.
JJ, I'm sorry you saw that.
I'm sorry you had to see that.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting that.
I mean, he's really got that just ingrained in his memory.
Yeah,
he sure does. Let's go to Ron, line 8. Please, Ron is in Whittier. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
What kind of job do you have, and what'd you see?
I'm a termite inspector, so I see a lot of crazy stuff that people don't really see at the front doors. You go into their houses. I got going to Riverside doing a termite inspection, and that's probably was only one person home, the husband. I walk up to the master bedroom where the attic entrance is in their master bedroom closet. Come around the corner. And I kind of knocked on the door, like, hey, you know, I'm here, whatever. No one said anything, so I didn't know he was home. So I went in there. The wife had her head above her hands above her head, completely nude, trying to put on a shirt. And we met eyes, and we kind of stood there and looked at each other for 3-4 seconds and just kind of looked at each other. And then I turned around and walked out.
Oh,
and,
man.
Down in the kitchen when we were doing the writing up the paperwork, my husband says, found out my wife showed you something good, huh? I was like, Well, I guess so. He's like, oh yeah, puppy, I did. Yes, you know. I was like, oh, okay.
That sounds like a swingers test.
Like, yeah.
Like
yeah.
a put, you put your it? Little toe in the water.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Honestly, she was an older woman, but she was very fit. So. It was
and now you live with them. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Joe, line 4, please. Joe is in Corona. He's up next on K Rock. Good morning, Joe. What's going on?
Morning. So it wasn't exactly a delivery job. I used to sell Kirby vacuum cleaners, which is like the next most dangerous thing to being a mailman.
Okay. So, but you're still going door to door. That counts.
Yeah.
So when you first start, there's appointment setters and the people who do demonstration. So like, hey, I got your appointment. I'm like, cool. I do the appointment. I show the demonstration. And the lady's like, oh, okay. She's like an older lady, 60s. She's like, do you finance? I'm like, sure, yeah, we finance. She's like, what kind of deal can you give me? I'm like, you know what? Let me show you the rest of the demonstration, you know. And at that point, you go up to their bed and you do this demonstration on their bed. And she's like, oh, the room's this way. And she's like, you know, I've been living here, you know, all by myself for the past 10 years. You know, I'm very lonely. And I was like, okay. And she opens up this room door, total dominatrix. Everywhere. Just rips on the walls. There's a swing and there's like ambient red lighting. I was like, oh my God. Like, I thought I was in a movie. And I started pulling out my phone. I'm texting my supervisor, like, yo, get me out of here. This lady's crazy. Like, she like wants to tie me up or something for a discount.
Hey, why and, you know, so judgy, man? Come on. You're trying to sell a vacuum cleaner. You do what it takes.
Yeah, she has to pick up blood.
I'm sure a $300 discount on a vacuum cleaner is not being worth tied up for 6 hours of ball and gag in my mouth.
Well,
it's not until sure you try it, Joe. Yeah.
I mean, not with that attitude. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate the call. All right, let's go to Anthony in Mission Viejo, line 6. Is this segment turning out weirder than you thought it got? It would.
It's in line.
It's there.
Really?
Yeah.
I was
very on brand.
I was expecting, you know, hey, the outfit was see-through. I wasn't expecting the dominatrix. All right, Anthony, what say you?
How you doing, my guys? I'm just hanging out. This story's probably not as crazy as the past ones, but I was about 13 years old, working for the Orange County Register, doing like door-to-door sales. And it's like the end of the night, and this guy lets me in. He wants to give me a subscription, and I'm like, okay. So we're filling out the paperwork. All of a sudden, this woman walks into through the back room, butt naked, and I just look over, and I'm like, what? What is going on? And he just gives me this look, and he's like, yeah. That's what's up. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
And you were 13.
I was like 13 years old.
That was the day you became a man. That was like your bar mitzvah.
It was the first naked woman I've ever seen. She wasn't too bad either. It was like, they were probably like in their 30s, you know?
Okay.
So
all right.
They were looking good. Yeah, so yeah. It was good times.
You're bragging, right? That's why you're calling.
Yeah.
Kind of, because I was sitting here listening to you guys, and I was like, you know what? I got a story.
No, you do have a story.
Yeah, 13
and a fine story. And she was a great American. Right. Thank you, Anthony. Let's do one more. Let's make it Manuel, L.A., line 7, please. Manuel, you're going to close it out for us. What's going on?
All right. I used to install cable, and I went to swap a box in West Hollywood. I knocked on the door. No one answered. I called the company and told them I was leaving. All of a sudden, someone said, you know what? I'll be out. I'll be right out. He opened the door, and it was an older gentleman. He was in a robe. I went in real quick. You know, I'm here to swap your box. I knocked out the box. And I looked at his library, and he had, like, a lot of gay porn. Mm-hmm. And, I you know, it's just something I noticed. Well, then, finally, I swapped the box, and I had to call in to activate the box. So I said, can I sit somewhere? And he told me to sit right here. It was, like, a small studio. I sat down, and I started kind of noticing there was, like, two hot lamps pointed at a bed. And then I saw a camera on the stand. And then I saw him, and he kind of had his head down. And his robe was open, and I realized he was naked. And I kind of panicked, and then I looked, because I was looking at the bed. I looked under the bed, and there were, like, 5 dildos. And I said, oh, my God. So when the lady came on, when the operator came on the line, I said, you know what, I'm swapping a box. I gave her the number, and they gave us a code. Like, if something was happening, to you know, we give them the code, and they'll, like,
so that everybody else can come over. Right, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, he can get out of there.
Yeah, so I got out, and I called her, and I said, you know what, I think I interrupted a session, because I was like, man, when you work in West Hollywood, I got stories. I can email you stories.
Well, it's unfortunate you weren't able to activate that dude's box, because that would have
That's what he was counting on.
Yeah, he was really hoping you'd activate that box.
But 5 minutes from right now, only here on the world-famous K-Rock, we'll give you some tickets to see Smashing Pumpkins along with Noel Gallagher and AFI at the 5 Point Amphitheater at the end of August. That's in Irvine, don't you know? And you're qualified to see the band in their hometown, Smashing Pumpkins, in Chicago, including air trip and two-night hotel stay. It's the K-Rock Road Trip 2019, destination number 3, don't you know? Get more details at krock.com. Allie.
Bean.
What do you got for us? Got any late-breaking news for us here on this Thursday?
Do you know something I don't?
No. I know you like to stay current.
I do.
What's happening right now that we need to know about?
I do indeed like to stay current, but I don't have anything super current. However, Discovery Channel has released the official schedule for Shark Week. It's 20 hours of sharktastic programming from July 28th to August 4th. So in addition to the usual documentary-style shows, they are rolling out a scripted feature-length film for the first time ever. Oh. It's going to star Josh Duhamel, and it's called Capsize, Blood in the Water. It tells the true story. Oh, true story, you guys. Of an October 1982 shark encounter where the crew of a capsized yacht had to survive for days while being targeted by a group of tiger sharks.
It's crazy. I couldn't imagine getting my arm bit off by a shark.
That guy, it's like he's seen it already.
Huh, tiger shark. Does that mean a tiger and a shark?
Yes.
Because I never imagined that. Because one is an animal and the other is a mammal.
Today, I was like, all right, I don't want to like really sound stupid when I do this show today. Like, so learn a little education on sharks. So I look up sharks on the internet, and then I see like whale sharks. I'm like, oh, that must mean a whale and a shark have sex. And then I think, well, how does a whale and a shark have sex? Because there's a thing called whale sharks. So yes. I thought they must, you know. And then I realized that whales were mammals. And sharks are animals. They have nothing to do with each other. So basically, dolphins have sex with each other, but the sharks don't. So I thought, then how is it such a thing?
That's Dr. Tara Reed from the San Diego Aquarium, for folks who don't recognize the voice.
Right.
Yeah.
It's science.
Yeah. So you've been thinking about that a lot, Jensen, about tigers and sharks?
Yeah, just like, how does it happen?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Well, maybe they'll be able to answer that on Shark After Dark, the week's nightly talk show. Rob Riggle will be hosting that. He's also starring in Shark Trip, Eat, Pray, Chum, along with his friends Adam Devine, Anthony Anderson, Joel McHale, and Damon Wayans Jr.
This is Rob Riggle's year, man.
It really is.
All of this plus Holy Moly?
Holy Moly is enough to sustain a lifetime.
I agree.
How does he have time with Holy Moly? I feel like they work on it 24 hours a day.
There's no way that he's not living his best life right now.
By the way, Danielle's water broke 5 minutes after the end of the first episode of Holy Moly, and we've decided that our baby was watching and it was like, never watching that again. I have my own decisions to make getting out of here.
Or was it the other way around where your baby said, that's the world I want to live in. I'm ready to come out now that Holy Moly exists.
Maybe.
Look at Bean.
Just saying, there's glass a positive.
Glass half full.
There.
Glass half full all the time.
Do you know whether they're using any baby shark in any of the promo materials for Shark Week now?
You'd think they'd have to,
I don't know how they could avoid it. It's so perfectly on brand for them.
Yeah.
But it'll also drive people insane if there's 7 days of... I mean, I think that song would drive you insane. If you had to hear it too much.
I guarantee people in their car are cursing the show right now. As well they should be.
Sure.
It's just an earworm. You guys, this is one of my favorite stories because I love a cake mishap. Like a couple weeks ago, I told you about a woman who ordered a Mariah Carey cake for a friend, and then Marie Curie was on the cake. That's a mishap. Instead of saying to the person on the phone, oh, it's spelled Zoe with two dots over the E, they actually write that all out on the cake. Instead of just spelling the name with the two dots, they write out the whole instructions. Well, something similar has happened with a birthday cake from a Dairy Queen in Georgia. A mom had ordered it for her 25-year-old daughter, by the way, whose favorite movie is Moana. But apparently something happened along the lines, and the cake that turned up at the home for the birthday party just featured a marijuana leaf and a My Little Pony smoking a joint. They think what happened was, because they have a strong accent in South Georgia, they heard Moana, they heard marijuana, and then the girl said, I guess when they said I love cartoons, they were just like, well, let's throw My Little Pony on there. But it had red eyes, it was smoking a joint with a tramp stamp of a pot leaf on its bottom.
Honestly, that's fresh.
The greatest cake ever. I love everything about this, you guys.
I would not expect that kind of creativity from somebody who's working at a Dairy Queen in South Georgia.
Yeah, that's true talent.
I feel like they should be bumped up to a fancier place if they come up with all that on their own.
Maybe this is their stepping stone. This is where they're, you know, doing the grind, doing the Dairy Queen thing, just at the DQ, you know?
Yeah.
Those Dairy Queen ice cream cakes are a good deal, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Or just a dipped ice cream cone.
Oh. Do you get the half and half, the chocolate and vanilla?
Nah, just the caramel, the butterscotch, I mean. I just get butterscotch, vanilla, butterscotch.
Really?
That's it, yeah. That's my life.
Wow.
Do you have chicken finger?
It's also what I ask when I go to dinner.
Some birthdays for you. Justin Willman, John Henson, Giorgio Armani, Richie Sambora, Lil' Kim, and Alessia Cara. And Alicia, Alessia Cara.
Alessia.
Cara.
Cara.
Mm-hmm. That's what... Allie, I'm usually excited about what's happening, but you don't often have a guest with you when the segment begins.
I do. I have a surprise guest.
Who's this homeless young man that you just brought into the studio?
It's just Mugs with a beard.
Okay.
Yeah, it is quite. It's a beard.
Yeah, it's unkept. Kempt. What is it? Kept or kempt?
Unkempt.
Have you been kicked out of your house? What's going on, Mugs?
Yeah, I've been sleeping in the utility closet here at K-Rock.
What can we do for you, sir, ahead of what's happening?
Tonight is one great night at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. It's something I've been doing for the last 3 months now, and it is trivia night with King Trivia. I, along with the guy from King Trivia, Kobe, we host a very fun two-hour packed trivia night from 7 to 9 at the Bike Brewery at the Bike Hotel and Casino. Come on down. It's free to play, and there's gift card prizes. We're giving away Monster Jam tickets.
Fun.
And the hot wings at the Bike Brewery are so good.
Really?
So good. Eat it. Yes.
What kind of trivia questions are mostly asked? Like, who would be a good candidate to win something like this?
Everybody that listens to our show, it ranges from pop culture to sports to video games.
Right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah, just runs the gamut. So it's a really good time. Come on out, and you could play against me or with me if you dare.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Fun.
You just said, or with me if you dare.
Yeah, because I'm terrible. I caused my team to lose the whole thing one time because I told them not to double down. and they listened to me, and we lost.
Yeah, go ahead. Right. Trust mugs on a spelling bee, not so much on a trivia
contest. Correct. Okay. Right.
All right, 9:38. Allie's got her final look at what's happening here on a Thursday morning.
Well,
what's going on?
I don't know if you guys knew about this over the holidays when they had Glastonbury Festival, the big music festival in England. Mm-hmm. And right before the festival, Noel Gallagher wound up doing an interview about a Scottish singer that has just blown up, Lewis Capaldi.
Oh, he's delightful.
He's such a delight. His song, Someone You Loved, is just, it's perfection. But he wound up, you know, not saying the nicest things ever about sweet Lewis Capaldi. And he basically said, I'll just paraphrase about how wank his music is. He's not a fan of Lewis Capaldi in any way. So Glastonbury rolls around, and Lewis Capaldi plays that interview during his walkout.
Love it.
Opens his jacket to a Noel Gallagher t-shirt.
Love it.
Amazing.
And there's
right?
a history of this because Jay-Z did the same thing when he was told by one of the Oasis dudes he shouldn't be headlining, so he came out and played Wonderwall.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And this is Noel. This isn't, you know, Liam, who's usually the troll.
The idiot.
But it's gotten worse. So yesterday, in an interview in Variety, Noel Gallagher said, effing Chewbacca should enjoy his 15 minutes. The greatest day of his life is the day I slagged him off and called him an idiot. It's the greatest day of his effing life so far. Wow. Well, I know you're Scottish and all that, but effing hell. It is like a third world country, but for F's sake, you must have had a better day than that, surely. Okay, why are you bringing Scotland into
it?
It seems First of all, that's a bad move, Noel Gallagher.
Too many things.
So here's what he did. Lewis Capaldi today has changed his name on social media to Chewis Capaldi.
Chewis?
Chewy.
Thought you said Jewis.
Oh, no, Chewis. Okay. Like he took Chewy and Lewis and combined them.
Sure.
And then just kind of superimposed his face on Chewbacca. So he's owning this as well. He's doing everything right, is basically what I'm telling you. I love Lewis Capaldi so much.
He's very fun.
He is. He knows.
You rarely see a guy who enjoys himself as much as he seems to all the time.
Yeah, he's shooting to superstardom, and he's having a blast all along the way. Absolutely. I love him so much. And I don't know when Noel turned into Liam, but stop it.
Yeah, he's being very dickish lately.
Yeah, stop being a potato.
And what did you think about Noel refusing to allow any Oasis music in the Liam Gallagher documentary?
It's petty.
It's super petty,
it's
right?
Petty.
He was in the band, for God's sake. So let him use some music in his documentary. It's not going to take anything away from you, Noel.
Yeah. Although that new Noel Gallagher song is fire.
It's kind of a bop.
It is good.
Fire.
It's real good.
So
Black Star Dancing, is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah, it's real good.
Real good. Guys, ESPY Awards last night didn't drop as much as they were worried about because apparently Tracy Morgan, I don't want to say bombed, but pretty much bombed. He didn't do a real great job with
I am really surprised to hear that. A, because he's very talented. B, they have a tremendous amount of writers on a show like that. Mm-hmm. Right, Jensen?
This was my first year and I think six I didn't do.
Wow.
But I mean, historically, you get a lot of help for a show like
that.
Yes,
there's probably like six, seven writers on it.
And C, it seems like he would have so much goodwill just based on what he's been through. I think people were there ready to have a good time with Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
So all of those things were going in his favor and it still failed? That's a shame.
It just wasn't his best moment, is what we'll say. But numbers held up pretty well to the year prior, which isn't that bad. So last year, 3.9 million total viewers. This year, 3.87.
Yeah,
so
about the same.
I think they'd look at that as a win, the way that numbers have been dropping across the board for shows like that.
Right.
Meanwhile, Love Island. If you know anything about the show Love Island, one of the biggest hits in television history.
Yeah, in the UK.
In the UK. And people couldn't wait to bring it here, but I think they should have just brought the British version. Just replayed those shows here, and I think they would have been a huge hit. But we decided we'll make our own. We'll do it. Not doing too good, you guys. Not doing too good. It's not really the hit they thought it would be.
I
got an email to audition for the voiceover of that.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I'm not interested in doing that. And I, especially in my mind, I was like, I'm not going to get it. I sound like Kermit. Like,
right.
I don't have that voice that's like, do you want to go on a date? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, are you ready for one-on-one? Like, I thought that's what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then I tuned in just for the top of it. Mm-hmm. And the dude who does the narration, super Kermity. So they were looking for a specific voice, and they found him.
I feel like we need to find out who this is, just in case Jensen needs more time off. We could just flip this guy right
Kermit
in.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think, and I don't know what the competition has been like or the reality show history has been like in Britain, but do you think that America is, that itch is already kind of scratched with between the Bachelor franchise and Big Brother? Like, we kind of have already got it. Like, we don't need another one, I think.
I was open to the idea of hearing what's different about Love Island. Like, how is it? And I see a little bit of the mechanisms that are different, but it's a pretty much similar
show.
Pretty
much the same show.
Good-looking people going on dates.
Yeah. And I also think maybe CBS isn't the home for a show
Bingo.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's the number one thing. You've got an older audience that wants to watch Criminal Minds and
Mark
CSI.
Yeah.
They want to watch those shows, and then you put, you know, half-naked people on, they're like, rawr.
Yeah,
that's what they said.
I mean, Dave was writing a letter yesterday asking to just air Blue Bloods repeats during that hour. So clearly the CBS audience is not having it.
No.
Dave and my mom, the only two people
the
I know that
two.
Watch
yeah.
Blue Bloods.
Well, now that my dad's gone. Yeah, there were three,
oh,
but now there's the two.
Mean.
Yeah. Mm.
Did Blue Bloods kill him?
I don't think so. I think that was all that was keeping him alive the last couple of years.
Actually, who did you tell that to recently? You what told you we had an interview. It was Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
I had to break the news to him that he lost his biggest fan in Las Vegas. he would watch anything Gary Sinise was in.
Absolutely. Well,
he had it set up on his DVR for any. That was his keyword was Gary Sinise. If Gary Sinise was in it,
like
Gary Sinise liked it.
Gary
he would
Sinise,
watch it.
Very good actor.
Yes,
tremendous actor.
Yes,
but like a weird person to get fixated on.
Yes.
Here's the thing, though, because I have family in the military that will watch anything Gary Sinise is in because of how much he does.
Same deal.
For veterans. Mm. And your dad was
that
a Navy guy. That's totally it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the Common Core military.
That's
Gary Sinise. Okay, good times, guys. I hate to break this to you because I know a lot of you were thinking, oh, just if they could get through this last little bit, Woodstock 50 is going to happen. Yep, they've hit another bump in their plans to stage the festival in New York. In 5 weeks, you guys, is when this is supposed to happen. The festival's effort to obtain a permit for its latest proposed location, Vernon Downs, has been denied. They have 5 days to appeal, but sad bassoon. What they have submitted to date has not met many of the requirements, so it's highly...
You gotta be kidding me.
Highly unlikely. Of course it's highly unlikely. They can't put on a festival in 5 weeks when all their backers are gone.
This is a disgrace.
They can't get the permits for toilets and food and all of that. It's not going to
happen.
It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets supposed to go on sale, you guys? April 22nd.
Unbelievable!
Still no tickets because you don't know where it is and you don't know really who's performing. Because
I can't even believe it!
The original headliners, Jay-Z, The Killers, Dead & Company, Black Keys, Imagine Dragons, I don't think they are waiting around.
Get rid of all of them!
Keep them, just do another festival.
Do you think people are buying tickets and getting ready to go out there just to film themselves and then make a Netflix documentary and a competing Hulu documentary?
I mean, if tickets were to go on sale,
yeah,
I bet someone would.
I bet you they
for
would.
For sure. For sure.
Lies, lies, and more lies, and lies on top of lies.
Hmm. Okay. You guys know about La Mer lotion for your face? Very expensive. Very expensive. Like, if you get a little trial of one, you're like, yes, make it last.
Mm-hmm. What's so good about it? Just great moisture.
Made of baby blood.
Yeah, made of baby blood.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's baby blood.
You got to tell me. That's why my kid's in the hospital. We've been just taking it out.
What is wrong with you?
Take it a little extra.
I hate you. Well,
we've been putting it all over our faces. Maybe that's why we can't get them out.
Oh, little Adler.
Man. I hope Danielle's not listening right now.
Oh, Adler. I hope Adler's not listening right now.
Right? Good Lord. Well, here's why I bring it up. It's about $400 for this La Mer lotion. And when you're Chris Hemsworth and you have a sunburn, Maybe don't grab your wife's lotion to put all over your body. His wife's not too happy. So he had to explain, yeah, I just rubbed a small fortune all over my body, and it's not really soothing my sunburn. So I thought that was just kind of cute. Stars, they're just like us, right?
Just I wonder if there's a phone topic, Allie, in people who use the wrong product. People who thought they were putting something on for a thing and found out it wasn't what they were supposed to use it for.
I did that. Did I ever tell you about that? I thought I was putting on Sunless Tanner, and I did 3 rounds of it. So I did it 6 hours later, did it again, showered the next day, did it again.
And it was motor oil?
It was sunscreen.
Oh.
Yeah, it was doing absolutely nothing.
Nothing for you.
I was like, I am getting no color from this. But yeah, didn't you... You took something and you thought you were taking something else.
NyQuil
and DayQuil.
Yeah, I did that. I did that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a fun show. Me on the Scissorp.
Yeah,
that is funny.
But no, then Kevin did it recently. Mm-hmm.
Recently,
yeah.
That was anal cream though. I think he brushed his teeth with.
Drinking it. Oh, Adler again.
Oh, stop upsetting Adler.
What are you doing? He's got enough trouble. He's fighting his way through, and here we are, playing his cry.
I mean, you just talked about rubbing his blood all over you for Lemaire.
No one heard
it. He better get used to it. That's the family he was born into.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get some birthdays for you. Justin Woolman, the amazing magician. TV host and comedian John Henson. Giorgio Armani. Richie Sambora. Lil' Kim. And Alessia Cara.
Thank you, Ellie.
And that's... What's happening?
You got the name right on the last What's Happening.
Thank you.
Well done. Hey, a 5 p.m. commercial-free hour, you bet, thanks to a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers that strike your client this afternoon. Tomorrow is a good show for a lot of reasons, not the least of which it is Friday, you guys.
Hey.
Got more tickets for you to join us in San Diego next week for Comic-Con. Also, Eliza is going to be here tomorrow. We are going to be keeping it 100 because it's Friday. We'll give you a chance to help us pick the music. A new batch of Kevin Bean Afro calls to play for you and much, much more. That's all happening tomorrow right here on a Friday.
Day.